Okie dokie. Start this. See you later. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
And what shall we discuss?
No, you go ahead.
Me?
Yes.
Russian poet and singer Vladimir Vysotsky. One question is, what is the connection? I feel him strongly and the duration of my life.
Observing.
One time I had a dream where I was in a restaurant or bar with Mary, and Vysotsky was singing, and it sounded like there is a resonance between Mary and Vysotsky and him, or maybe yourself and him. Is there a connection there also?
Family. Yes, Michael and Kira breaks. I focus as mother.
Oh, actual focus of that singer.
Wow.
He had a unique way of singing where it sounds like he was really opening up to something higher. Like, I felt him as like a real man. I also felt that he projects love. I also felt of heart energy center or higher. That he was able to kind of activate that and go up and activate that in the listener. Can you comment on that? How did he do it?
This is an action that some musicians can achieve. I would express that it is somewhat unusual. It is not rare, but it is somewhat unusual. Not many musicians can achieve this type of state of being, so to speak. What occurs, and this occurs with individuals that are musicians with an instrument, and also at times with vocalists, is that the individual becomes so entirely absorbed with the expression of the music, and in that absorption, what they are doing is they are generating a very strong connection emotionally. Now, let me explain. I am not expressing emotionally entirely in relation to feelings. But in the definition of emotion being the subjective communication to the objective, at times these artists generate such a clear openness in that communication. There is a very strong subjective communication and experience of the music, which creates this clear, open passage, so to speak, between the subjective and the objective, in which the individual is not generating any activity with the thought mechanism. The thinking is in a manner of speaking, turned off. Mm-hmm. There is this clear passage of energy and this clear openness with the expression of the music in that emotional action, in which the subjective awareness is intensely absorbed with the vibrational quality of the music, which in that communication, in that clarity of that communication, it translates in a very open and smooth flow to the objective awareness, which translates that into sound and incorporates another translation of the sound in relation to feeling. Therefore, what is occurring is, in a manner of speaking, the subjective, objective awarenesses and the body consciousness combined are generating their own type of symphony, incorporating the purity of the vibrations, translating that into sound, but beyond sound, into an energetic expression that incorporates and includes all of your physical senses. For the individual themselves is generating such an intense openness that all of their own body consciousness, and very much so their own physical senses, are included in the action, which thusly also translates again in another direction into feeling, therefore there is the incorporation of the entire body consciousness participation plus the feeling aspect in relation to the tones, for every tone can invoke a feeling. Therefore, the individual is generating this clear passage of communication in relation to the feelings that correspond with every tone that the individual is engaging. And that creates this very open expression of a demonstration of interconnectedness, for the individual is so interconnected in the action with themselves and with all that is through the instrument of the music, including their physical participation, whether it be with a physical instrument or with themselves in their body consciousness using their own instrument of voice. Generally speaking, in those time frameworks in which an individual can achieve that absorption of self, the individual is experiencing the tones very differently. It is not a matter of merely engaging an instrument or singing or listening. It is a situation in which the individual is experiencing the action of the music. Now, another factor in this is that in that time framework, in that state of being so interconnected, the individual is also very strongly engaging their sense of conceptualization. That inner sense is one that you experience the action of a concept. Therefore, that sense is engaged strongly, and the individual is experiencing the action of the vibrational qualities and the energy.
Yes, so your body feels it literally.
Yes.
Because that's how it feels, that's my understanding.
Yes.
Because when you experience, probably, I have probably experienced something similar to this, and your body feels, you're exhilarated.
Yes.
Your body, physical body feels so good that it's very close to, you know.
Yes. The physical body consciousness is involved and it does respond and you do feel it. And you can feel that in several manners simultaneously. You will feel an actual resonance very similar to what occurs with your instruments of tuning forks. Mm-hmm. Tuning forks vibrate when they are, in your terms, perfectly tuned to a vibrational note. Your body consciousness does the same action. It will create a type of vibrating sensation that you can feel, and it is very obviously noticeable. Beyond and in addition to that vibrating sensation that occurs, the body consciousness generates a type of excitement which can be translated into a feeling of exhilaration. You will feel a sensation within the body consciousness of lightness or airiness, in which it can almost physically feel similar to weightlessness, in which the individual is no longer experiencing their body consciousness in relation to gravity and weight. There is an actual physical sensation of a lack of weight. It is a lack of density. For the more you are generating that connection and that openness, the more dispersed the energy becomes, which dissipates the density and the concentration of the solidity of the body consciousness. And regardless that, in your terms, even though you may be viewing the individual in what is very familiar to you in relation to your own physical senses, such as your vision, you see the solidity of that individual's physical form, but in actuality, in those moments, their physical form incorporates less density, and therefore it is less solid in those moments than it may be in any other time framework. In this, when the individual achieves that state, the individuals that may be listening feel a difference. Now, one physical aspect of your existence in this reality is very intertwined with your senses. And of all of your reality, even your thinking, of all of the aspects of your reality, your physical senses are the most absolute of any aspect of your reality. Each one of your physical senses is an avenue of communication, but it is a very absolute avenue of communication. And there is little to no aspect of abstractness or interpretation with your physical senses. They do not interpret information. They connect information, they relay information.
Straight lines, you feel it straight.
Yes, and there is
no digestion.
no deviation, there is no interpretation of that information, it is very absolute. This is the reason that magic fascinates you. For magic is merely the action of fooling your senses or stretching your senses. This is the reason that you deem it to be magic or impossible, for it stretches or fools your senses, and your senses do not interpret being fooled. They are always very absolute. Therefore, when you, as a participant, as an audience, are listening to an individual in this state, what occurs is you feel and you sense, not with your physical senses. You sense with your inner senses part of what the individual is doing, and you respond to that, and your body consciousness recognizes that energy, and it will respond, and you feel emotional feelings and physical sensations in relation to what the other individual is doing, in part. But your physical senses, being as absolute as they are, will continue to physically view, see the individual in its familiar manner, in solid form, and in what you expect in relation to appearance. And you will, as the listener, hear the music, the tones, in that absolute reception. But your body consciousness will signal you that some different action is occurring. You will notice that there is a difference, that there is an unusualness that is occurring in relation to this. I would express to you that in some situations, this is also the reason that some individuals respond to musical compositions or expressions and cry. For that is an automatic response. What is occurring is the individual is participating in the action through the action of listening, but is allowing themselves that openness also, connecting not necessarily with the individual that is generating music, but connecting with the music itself and how it is being translated, allowing an openness for the openness of the other individual, creating that connection of that interconnectedness, allowing themselves to experience it also. And what occurs is, if you allowed yourself to visualize, would be a very strong, very directed, streamlined projection of energy from the musician to the listener, which generally moves very specifically from the solar plexus of, not the throat, the solar plexus of the musician to the solar plexus of the listener, the body consciousness receives this direct stream of energy, which incorporates an intensity, for it is dense, it is thick, similar to a cord. And as the body consciousness receives this energy, it immediately connects to the individual's nervous system, and it moves very rapidly within milliseconds throughout the entirety of the individual's body consciousness, which creates a concentration of the individual's energy, very similar to if you were punched in the stomach, but without the pain and without the discomfort. The energy penetrates very intensely, very densely, very quickly. It moves immediately throughout the nervous system, creating this concentration of energy within the listener's body consciousness, which creates an automatic response of release. Just as if you were punched in the stomach, you would automatically release breath. This creates an automatic release of that intensity of held energy, and the individual is immediately moved to weep. Automatically.
Yeah, that's what happened to me yesterday. I was singing his songs and then became very emotional and started to cry. So that is a release of energy, as crying usually is, but it was also me connecting. Even though I wasn't listening at the time, I was imagining him and his songs. But by trying to imitate, I kind of connected to him.
Yes. It is not actually necessary to engage your physical senses. It is not actually necessary to audibly hear the sound. Once you have experienced it, it is cast in memory within your body consciousness. Therefore, your body consciousness can access that, and in doing so, it reproduces that openness and that experience in which you may generate the same automatic response, which would be a release of energy. And it is connected with the feeling, for your body consciousness is incorporating the entirety of the energy package, so to speak. It is engaging all of the senses, it is engaging all of the inner senses, it is engaging your body consciousness in all of its functions except thought. And therefore, it also includes a feeling that you generally attach to emotional communications. And in the combination of all of this activity that the body consciousness is generating, it invokes this automatic response to release energy, which is also a part of the circle of the interconnectedness. you automatically release and project out what you have received. Therefore, it is an entire circle of sharing in interconnectedness. Even if you are alone and there is no other physical individual present, it matters not, for you are releasing and projecting out that cycle of energy, and it ripples out regardless to share and generate that interconnectedness.
So in this case, are you more talking about the fact that I am releasing tension and become more relaxed, or the fact that I get to that state where I'm happy and I am open?
It is not tension. It is not a release of tension to relax.
Okay.
It is not tension at all.
Okay.
It is a reception of energy in a concentration and density, which, were you to visualize yourself to be hollow, it would be very similar to a balloon, that a mist or an air is filling up the entirety of your body consciousness to such capacity that it must be released. And in that, there is the automatic response to release it, which is not tension.
But is energy always the same, so to speak, or is this a very specific type of energy that is associated with happiness and joy and harmony?
Is energy always the same? No. There are many, many, many different expressions of energy. And the energy itself is different. But although you could figuratively express that energy in its basic components is somewhat the same, it is not entirely, for at times it is thicker, at times it is lighter, at times it is more flowing, at times it is sharper, at times it may be similar to waves, and other times it may be similar to points. And in that, the energy itself is different. Yes, there is a difference in energy that is tense, and you are generating an action to relax, or an energy that is intense, but not tense. And in that, it can be very dense, it can be thick, but it can also be flowing. Whereas there can be other energies that may not be dense, may not be thick, that can be flowing or could be more sharp. More staccato. And in that, the quality of the energy changes. Yes, there are even different qualities of energy in relation to feeling expressions. That an exuberant or excited energy is different from a somber or even a calm and flowing energy. just as the physical manifestations of energy are presented differently, they are reflections of the energy itself. A gentle rippling upon a pond is a physical manifestation reflection of that type of flowing energy.
So there is an ocean of patterns of energy.
Yes, very much so.
So during the concert, performer projects his or her energy, so to speak, which corresponds to that ecstatic state or harmonious state, and is covered by their individuality. That hits the audiences, who in turn start resonating and projecting their version of it, their energy, and try to act as an amplifier to start this chain reaction of sharing of some sort.
Yes, but there are two different actions occurring. Let us say that you attend two different concerts. In one concert, you may be participating with individuals that are engaging instruments and singing, and they may be involving the audience, and you are participating, and there is an energy that the musicians are projecting, and there is an energy that the audience or the listeners are receiving, and there is a participation between the two. And that may include some feelings. It may include excitement or agitation or melancholy in relation to what the musician is projecting and what you are receiving. Then you also have another concert. Now, in this concert, the individual is doing what we have been discussing. This is different. In the first concert, you are directly participating back and forth with each other, the musician and the listener. It is creating an interconnectedness between the audience and the performer, but not beyond. In the second concert, when the individual is generating that state of being, they're connecting to much more than themselves. That is a very different experience, for when you participate in that, as that individual is connecting to much more than their own energy expression, they serve as a conduit, in a manner of speaking, as the conduit. They serve as a type of channel that creates the link for that interconnectedness in which the audience, the listeners that are participating, are now more than listening. They are drawn into that flow and that interconnectedness that extends far beyond merely the back and forth between the performer and the audience. It is an interconnectedness that includes all that is.
Now, just to clarify, you mentioned tones as part of it. So when Natasha is playing guitar, there is a musical aspect to it, but there is also a more fundamentally music or shamanic aspect to it, which is tuning with the tones. But that can also happen even with the drumming, right? The person
oh,
with
yes.
the drumming can get into that state
oh, yes.
and draw everybody else into that.
Yes.
So it doesn't have to be a do re mi fa sol la si tones.
No. Yes. Any type of percussion instrument can be interacted with in the same manner. They are creating tones.
Yeah, whatever creates tones.
Regardless that you don't define it the same, they are creating tones and rhythms. And in that, yes, any percussion instrument or action can be incorporated and generate the same state of being and that flow of interconnectedness. It, for many individuals, is more difficult unless they have being very much familiarized throughout their focus, throughout their lifetime, with the expression of percussion to physically connect in that same manner. It is easier with other types of tones. It is easier in what you term to be musical tones to generate that vibrational resonance and that automatic response with the body consciousness. For your body consciousness is not as attuned to percussion tones, which is very much related to your senses. Your sense of hearing is not as familiar.
But I guess you can train yourself.
Yes, you can. And you can develop that. This is the reason that I expressed it is easier for individuals that incorporate cultures that are more attuned to percussion expressions. Yes. There are certain cultures that are much more incorporated with drumming, and they much more easily can achieve that same state. But you can develop that, and you can become attuned to that in percussion as much as any other.
Yes. Have I ever been able to achieve
something similar, like Ganyi saying about the universal state? Yes. I have. Yes. Because I have a feeling that I do.
Yes.
Because
I can relate to this.
Yes. It is very unusual, and I would express somewhat rare, that any musician would generate that or achieve that every time they engage musical.
Of course, it's very rare.
Yes.
But how to get into this?
Yes.
You can experience because I know how it feels.
Yes. And once you generate that, it is not difficult to maintain it while you continue to engage the action. Mm-hmm. Once you move yourself into that state of being, you can maintain it for a considerable time framework as you continue to engage. Therefore, if you achieve that state, you would not generate that for one composition or one song. You would continue to express that for the duration of the time framework that you continue to be engaging the music. Therefore, Adam, if you achieve that state, you continue to engage this musical action for 4 hours or 5 hours, you would continue to be in that state for that entire time framework. It would not be intermediate and fluctuating.
Let me ask you one more question. In Bagley's manner, is it beneficial for you to achieve this?
Is it beneficial for you to achieve this state? Yes. Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. Just,
quite so.
Yes.
For it is such an interconnected state.
Of course. Yes.
And it is such an interconnected state of yourself.
Yes.
And it heightens all of your senses. It heightens your awareness, and it creates a very definite flowing interplay of the objective and subjective awarenesses in which there is no separation of them.
Yeah, that's a neat thing.
I think I have achieved the hypnosis of that too.
Yes.
Okay. But it's hard for me to mention 4 hours. I guess in my mind, it's like...
Let me express to you one of the most obvious examples of this is individuals when they participate in an audience with opera. This is a very obvious example. Individuals respond to this particular expression of music in very definite, different manners. The individual will either find it soothing to the body consciousness, contrary to what individuals interpret, that some individuals may
fall asleep.
This is not that they are bored. It is that their body consciousness is responding in such a soothing manner that it depresses their energy and slows it to an extent that they do sleep. Some individuals become agitated and find it difficult to engage. Other individuals very often and consistently are moved to weep. Now, you will notice in this obvious example of opera that an individual that may be engaging an operatic expression may be engaging that for several hours.
Mm-hmm.
And within those several hours, the individual may find themselves weeping many times.
Yes.
It continues to occur. For them, what occurs is the same as the performer, that the individual that is the participant, the listener, is receiving that intensity of energy and release, and receive and release, and receive and release, and therefore they may actually generate that action of weeping many times, for they are continuously in that state of interconnectedness. And that flow of energy is not broken. Now, the reason that opera is an obvious example is that this is one form of musical expression that the musician, the singer, does achieve that state more consistently than any other type of singer. They are so concentrated, not in thought, in the experience of what they are doing vibrationally and emotionally, including feeling, but meaning emotionally that subjective communication to the objective. That is such a consistent part of that particular form of music that this is the reason that individuals respond in the manner that they do. They respond either by being very soothed, for that is a very comfortable, open state that the performer is projecting, and that creates in some individuals a very comfortable, safe feeling, which they sleep. With other individuals, the reason that it agitates them is that the individual themselves incorporates difficulty or an issue in being open.
Mm-hmm. Not unlike a last session.
That also can generate that action, which I incorporate as a compliment.
Indeed. It was meant that way.
But, in like manner, these tones are achieved in that openness that the performer is expressing, and with some individuals it is agitating, for they themselves express a difficulty in generating an openness. Therefore, the action that occurs, as we have expressed, the energy is dense. It is thick, it is intense, it is powerful. Therefore, what occurs is that energy is projected and it strikes the energy field of the other individual. Very similar to the punch in the stomach.
That's
what
we thought.
Okay. I might have some difficulties, you know, not that always open. I might be
sensitive.
What's
it? You
just said
it. What's
it so difficult about? That is a genuine compliment. For that is the outward objective expression of how you are connecting and generating that openness.
When you play guitar, several people cry in the audience when you play well.
It happens so rare.
Because you don't want to play?
No, I want to play. I'm just a little judgmental about my playing.
Rather than incorporating the judgmentalness, perhaps it would behoove you to alter your perception slightly into the direction of playing to generate that state rather than playing for other purposes.
You're right, you're absolutely right.
Rather than playing for entertainment, playing for the purpose of generating that state of interconnectedness and that flow with yourself. And in doing so, you are more entertaining and connecting with other individuals than any other type of entertainment.
That's how the music started, right? The music started as a means of exchanging that energy in that state. I think Persian music or Arabic music has a term for that, a joyful state, a specific one that only applicable to musicians is a joyful state that we achieve.
Which is what originated the expressions of all different types of music, is that release of energy and that expression of interconnectedness. This is what sparked the creation of every type of music. But individuals very often forget that.
She is from a school where there were so many judgments about the food.
No, about the school. I just feel when somebody plays well and the person who's playing or singing does not pay any attention to an effort of producing the sound. That's in my understanding, that's how I perceive, I can appreciate it greatly. That's what touches me. But visibly, there is no effort at all, and it just flows. That's an ultimate goal. And when I play, I don't want to pay attention to getting done.
But your perceived lack of technique does not preclude you from making people cry and from achieving that state. You don't have to be this 100%. You know?
I want to be 100%.
Aspect of perfectionism.
Who could have guessed it about me?
But that is not necessarily a negative either, for it inspires you and it motivates you to continue to expand and to move yourself into more challenges. And therefore, that can be viewed as a positive aspect also.
At times, doesn't stop playing altogether.
Correct. At times, a lack of satisfaction is not necessarily bad. At times, a lack of satisfaction can be what you term to be good, or it can be motivating.
Yes. I just need to act on it.
Ah!
Can we interrupt?
I guess I'll start next hour. In the next hour, I'm going to talk about my body consciousness, my health, and his health too. Even though he is denying, you know.
Oh, see, I talked about your music, so you might as well talk about
that. So, that's what we want to have.
Just to finish with the singer, Vladimir Vysotsky, in the fields that her friend Igor has some connection to him as well.
Counterpart, yes.
But in my case, it's observing.
Yes.
Your phone.
This is why he has to sing and impersonate him, you know, out loud. Meanwhile, me, I can just start crying, thinking about him.
But you're singing for me?
For only for me.
Generating the sharing.
Thank you, Lord. We'll see you next time.
Very well. We shall return.
Thank you. Hello.
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 A musical session.
A musical session.
It went like a breeze.
Yes.
So fast.
Next one will be health session.
Oh, so the musical session goes very fast, and the health session will probably go very slow. So fun. You didn't sin enough.
It's never enough for me, okay?
I should give her the frying pan so she can take another piece of bread and scoop up the butter.
Yeah, oh. That bread, that butter, those eggs. I'll probably remember that for the rest of my life.
She comes here, she has bread and butter or hamburgers that she's talking about forever.
I still remember those hamburgers.
I know.
Hamburgers. I still tell stories about them.
Funny. Okay, I'm going away. Continuing.
Continuing. So, second part. Health-wise, behavior-wise, you're probably aware that I'm trying to work with myself to do a little bit of new stuff and trying to do it in a different place, in more efficient way, smart way, and yet not putting myself into a rigidness of routine or the rigidness of certain strict rules, and in terms of diet, in terms of exercise, and I just kind of wanted to hear your assessment of it.
And express congratulations.
Thank you.
That you are allowing yourself to be spontaneous and therefore allowing more of your natural flow rather than the rigidness.
Yes.
And a flexibility, allowing yourself to also incorporate fun.
Yes.
Rather than work.
Right.
Which is important for you, as we both are aware, are not an individual that flows well or easily with a rigid construct of exercise or even diet, for that does not allow you the flexibility to be fun.
Yeah.
With it.
That's right.
And I would express that this is an important factor for you, for that is more likely to hold your interest and motivate you to continue if you are incorporating fun. If it is not fun, then you begin to associate that with work and you lose interest quickly.
That's right. That's where I wanted to take. For me, it's kind of hard to find the balance between work and fun, because sometimes there is not enough time, not enough probably imagination on my part or whatever to make it more fun. I want to make it more fun, and sometimes even I find fun in this rigidness and in pushing myself, and then it comes to this, my favorite part of pushing myself, right? Because I do find certain fun in pushing myself, because when I achieve something, even though when I went through this border of not being able to do anything, and still I reach for more and grab for more, that gives me satisfaction.
Yes.
But sometimes in this process I get, I get hurt, like, I got this knee thing again. And sometimes I'm being balanced in either way, in terms of exercise and diet and stuff. And I'm trying to find the optimal path, so to speak, where I would be doing it more in balance and still be more motivated and still be satisfied and see the results. I guess I'm asking you how could I modify my actions to achieve it more efficiently?
It is a matter of genuinely being aware of your natural flow and what you naturally generate. Now, I'm aware that I have expressed this numerous times previously, but I'm also aware that for the most part, individuals, including yourself, do not entirely understand what that means. For you already know what your natural flow is and what you naturally generate, but the challenge or the difficulty with that is that there is an automatic judgment in relation to your natural flow and what you naturally generate, such as with you. You naturally do, in a manner of speaking, push yourself. Now, when I express to you not to be pushing, that is not a statement that is absolute. That is to be considered in relation to what you naturally generate. That there is an aspect of pushing that you do that is your natural motivational factor. It is how you inspire yourself and how you spur yourself to challenge yourself to accomplish more. Therefore, that is an aspect of what you naturally generate. When I express not to be pushing yourself, it is in relation to that when you begin to move excessively in that direction, that for you, expressing in that manner is natural. And therefore, it is not a matter of judging yourself that you should not do that, or that you're doing it wrong. No, that is natural for you. But to be aware and to be paying attention to yourself, and in many capacities, paying attention to your body consciousness, to be aware of when you reach that point.
I don't know, that's the problem.
I'm aware. And the reason is twofold. There are two factors in this. One is that to some capacity you judge your natural flow, that it is pushing, and that is not good. Therefore, you are not acknowledging and accepting consistently that that is a natural flow for you. There is this underlying, and at times not so underlying, judgment that you are pushing, you know you are pushing, and you shouldn't be pushing.
Mm-hmm.
But there is also the second factor, which these two factors are somewhat at odds with each other. The second factor is that regardless of the judgment factor, as it is a natural action for you, you like it.
Yeah. That's it.
You like to be engaging, pushing yourself. It exhilarates you.
Mm-hmm.
It fascinates you. It challenges you. And therefore, it is motivating. And you like the motivational feeling. You like the feeling of being motivated. That is the area in which these two factors become at odds with each other. One is expressing, no, do not do this, I shouldn't do this, I should stop doing this. The other is, I like doing this, I enjoy doing this, it feels good to do this. Therefore, what you do is, when you are not engaging, you listen more to the, I should not do this.
Right.
When you are engaging, you override the judgment aspect with the, I do not care that I should not do this, I like this, and I want to do this.
Yes.
And therefore you continue to do it. Now, that aspect, in relation to the judgment aspect, moves you into a position that when you are engaging an action and you are feeling motivated, there is an underlying factor that is almost spiteful to the judgment. I like this. It feels good. I am excited. It's motivating. It is interesting. And I will do it and do it and do it. And my judgment can move in the direction of drowning itself, or I will do this. But that small aspect of that spiteful at odds with the judgment aspect is what moves you into the pushing that is not natural to you, that is the excessive. And what occurs is when you are engaging, you are so much paying attention to the I like this, I am enjoying this, I want to do this, that you are not actually genuinely paying attention to your body consciousness. Your body consciousness is communicating with you, but you are overriding it.
Yes.
In paying attention to the feeling of I like this.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore the body consciousness becomes secondary, and you are not as attuned to what that is doing. And therefore, at times, not always, you generate actions that are somewhat hurtful to yourself. It is a matter of that balance that you are speaking of, but not in the association or the concept of balance in the manner that you think. That is what is confusing and convoluting you, is that you are defining that balance in relation to thinking. Balance means this in how you think. Therefore, balance means engage this activity but limitedly, or engage it at times, or place a limit of time factor upon the action. No, that is not actually necessary, but that is how your thinking is defining balance. The actual balance for you is to balance the attention, to allow yourself to pay attention that you are enjoying and you are excited and you are motivated and you are engaging, but also to pay attention to your body consciousness.
But that distracts me so much, paying attention to my body consciousness.
I am understanding, which is the next step, which I was about to engage. You think it is distracting, for once again, you are not engaging that in a balance, for you are defining balance in that thinking manner of one or the other. I must do this or this. I cannot do both. I should not do both. I must be definitive to do this or do this. Or do this and then stop this. Not necessarily. It is not that black and white. You can balance, and it can be not distracting. For it is not a matter of, I'm engaging this activity, now I must stop and check my body consciousness. Let me check my shoulders, let me check my legs, let me check my knees, let me check my elbows, let me check my neck, let me check my head. And yes, that is distracting, for now you have stopped what you are doing, you have stopped engaging, and you are analyzing all of these different areas of your physical body consciousness. This is not necessary. It is a matter of practicing and becoming familiar with being flexible with your attention. That you are engaging in action, and while you are engaging the action, not necessarily stopping, but while you are engaging, you merely allow yourself to flex your attention and feel. Not what is my knee doing, not incorporating so much thinking.
No, but I do feel. I feel, but I don't know again. The problem is I don't know when. So I feel, but I feel there is something. But is this pain strong enough to stop, or is it okay to go? I can still go with this pain. I can tolerate this pain and go with this pain. that's a judgment there. I need to make a decision at that point.
Very well. We will incorporate this very example. That is a signal. That is your body consciousness. It is communicating to you. Enough. Now, that is not to say you must stop entirely. This is the aspect of the balance. Pay attention to the body consciousness. It is communicating to you. And not in manners that are difficult to understand or interpret.
No.
But your thinking interprets the signals as absolute stop points. Therefore, you battle with yourself. Can I continue to do this? Can I endure this pain and move more? For it is black and white in your thinking. Either I stop or I continue. And it's not necessarily that black and white. It may be a matter of slow
easing up.
And perhaps stopping for a few minutes of your time. That you are not entirely stopping. You are not ending what you are doing, but that physical feeling, that pain, or that agitation, even if it is not entirely a pain, but I'm quite aware that you have developed methods of classifying pains also. Some pains are not actual pains yet. They are an irritation. And that you can push through the irritation. No, it is a communication. Your body consciousness is communicating to you. Enough. Now, it is strained. This is a warning. You are straining. And I am communicating to you that I am straining. That is your cue to slow, ease your movement, not necessarily stop entirely, but not push. That is your push point. That is your exceeding push point. You are offering yourself a communication, and now you're overriding that. You are generating a choice. No, I am not listening to this communication. No, I am moving in this. Or I like it. You already know you like it. It is not necessary for you to convince yourself that you like it. You know that you like it. And that you want to do it. But it is also a matter of listening. And generating that balance. And there may be points in which it is a matter of momentarily stopping the action and changing it slightly to a different action to shift the energy. Therefore, the energy is not concentrated in a pressure point. And you can continue being in motion. Therefore, not entirely stopping your momentum, but to shift it slightly to alleviate that pressure in that particular point of the body consciousness, listening to it, I would express to you, my friend, you have expressed this question to me previously.
Yeah.
How do I balance? How do I not push? This is not a difficult question to answer. You already know. You already know the point that you begin, that you change from the natural push to the excessive push. That point is when you begin to feel some discomfort and you push past that. This is a very obvious action, and it is one that is very familiar to you. This is not a difficult aspect to balance. It is merely a matter of actually listening and remembering that what your thoughts are expressing to you is related to familiar associations and definitions, and those definitions may not be accurate. That it is not necessarily meaning a stop point. It is meaning you are receiving a signal, pay attention, listen to the signal, and balance that. Pay attention to the pressure point, alter the energy, shift it to a different area. Perhaps you are skating and you begin to feel a pressure point with your knee. We will not express pain from where you have classified it as not pain yet, although it is. Therefore, you feel the pressure. Now, this is not a communication or statement, stop skating. It is a communication and a statement, pressure point, shift the energy. Therefore, perhaps you may be skating differently, shifting your weight differently, slowing your skating to enable you to shift your weight differently. Or it may be, depending on the degree of the pressure point, pain, it may be momentarily stop, shift the action into not skating but stretching.
Yep.
Stop skating momentarily and incorporate a few of your minutes to shift the energy by stretching and therefore shifting that pressure point, and then you can resume.
Thank you so much. I wanted to actually ask her again, how is my energy centers, my body, how am I doing? Where do I need to pay more attention?
In relation to energy centers, I would express to pay attention somewhat to your orange energy center and to allow yourself to incorporate more distribution of the red.
More distribution.
Yes. To allow yourself to generate an exercise in which you focus upon the red energy center and playfully use the energy of the red energy center to spill into all of your bones.
Spill into all of my bones.
Yes. To incorporate your red energy center in relation to your bones, similar to the marrow of the bones. The reason that I express bones is that they are very distributed throughout your body consciousness, and therefore you can incorporate the energy of the red energy center into every aspect of your body consciousness through the system of your bones. As for the orange energy center, I would express to merely be aware of that energy center and periodically, occasionally, to allow yourself a few moments to visualize that energy center in containment, to visualize that energy center moving smoothly, figuratively speaking, in similar manner to a clock, rather than being dispersed. I would express that you at times with your energy centers incorporate a tendency to generate that orange energy center in more of a scattered, dispersed manner, which can be bothersome for that energy center, can, in a manner of speaking, interfere with other energy centers and with functions in relation to the physical body consciousness and organ function. Therefore, it may be beneficial periodically to merely contain that energy, generate a smooth flow in like manner to a clock, but contain it.
And how
good
is that?
Merely by visualizing.
Just visualizing.
For that creates a message and an instruction.
Okay.
It does not require any other action. The mere action of visualizing synchronizes your objective and subjective awareness, and that generates the communication from the subjective awareness to your body consciousness to readjust the function.
Looking from the top of my head down, that's how I see the clock.
Yes.
Turning.
Yes.
So if I just project it out of my body and look at my body, I would see.
Yes.
Turning off.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Could you do something similar on them? Hey, Victor. Could you please tell? Because I cannot get him to do anything.
In what capacity?
I'll tell you what capacity.
That's a good question.
he's the one who's cautious in so many aspects, and in this aspect, he's just like, ah, let it go. I want him to go to the doctor, I cannot get him to go to the doctor, even to change his glasses, and he's going like this every time I'm here. So I just to go about, I'm worried, and I want your assessment.
And what would you like him to visit the doctor for?
To see how his triglycerides, his cholesterol is, and how his heart is, and how his internal void organs work. He's a new okay.
Let me offer one statement in relation to your statement. That within your present time framework, your physicians, your sciences are generating excessive attention to this aspect of cholesterol. I would express to you both, this is not an aspect of your bodily functions that you need be concerned with, even if it is what you measure as excessive. This is a natural function with your body consciousness, and it will regulate itself, and it is not necessary for you to concern yourself with it, and it merely offers you another aspect of a bodily function to worry about.
Okay.
Therefore, in that particular respect, I would express to you not to concern yourself. It is not necessary, and it is not actually an aspect of your body consciousness functioning that will be destructive and extremely detrimental to you. Now, what other aspects are you concerned about in relation to his general health, so to speak?
I know that he's open exhausted, and I want to know his general health, how he has levels of vitality. He's always sleepy, he's always exhausted, he's always laying down in bed after we eat. And I just wanted to know, even though he's trying to do some exercise.
And your assessment?
Well, thanks to her, we do some riding of our scooters and other types of exercising, which helps me. Sometimes I'm lethargic because it's a natural relaxation for me. Sometimes she perceives my natural tempo as being a symptom. But I could be more vital, and I guess you can tell me if you see me heading for heart attack or my vessels being the...
No. And are you concerned?
In my mind sometimes, but I don't want to go to the doctor and get some number and tell it to her and to my parents and everybody will start saying something and have to take medication and all that.
That's his motivation. He doesn't really want to concern his parents. So he...
And what expresses to you that you must share that information?
Exactly. I usually don't, but I often do share it with her, and then she shares it with my parents. But the point, I guess, is also, if you are saying not to concern myself with cholesterol, then I shall not.
Very well. In this situation, there are two factors also.
Of course.
One is natural factor, and one is not. The natural factor in relation to a lower activity expression is that the reason it appears to be concerning is that he generates this action without entertainment. If you generated this same action with entertainment, it would likely not be questioned as much.
So I should be snorting?
If you napped, or if you generated that type of action and you were engaging your television, or you were reading a book, most individuals would not question your action. If you incorporate some form of entertainment and you are falling asleep, individuals, through what you have learned and what you have been taught and your associations, accept that. But when you are not incorporating entertainment, individuals view that as cause for concern. It is the same action. It is merely an action of some individuals' energy expression or output is slower than others. And your energy output is slower than yours.
Okay.
Now, this is not to say that you cannot or should not incorporate activities as you do together, but that it is also not unusual and not for concern when you are not engaging in activity that you may actually, in your terms, somewhat shut down, which is not an unusual activity. It is also not a cause for concern. It's not that your energy level, so to speak, is depleted, or that it is wrong. I would express that another factor is associated, once again, with your attention, that you have become somewhat complacent, that you have become somewhat accustomed to not necessarily always motivating yourself. That it is familiar and easy for you to allow your partner to motivate you.
Yes.
That you do not necessarily exercise your own creativity and imagination in motivating yourself, you will delegate that to her. And you will participate if she designs the activity.
Yes.
That is a complacent aspect. And the complacency is not necessarily a physical problem. It is familiar. It is not a symptom of a malfunction physically, but it does also contribute to that natural action of your slower energy, which, if you are not exercising your own creativity and imagination in relation to activity, it is very easy and likely for you to slip into the familiar direction of dream. And as you do that in locations that are not engaging a source of entertainment, such as sitting within a chair but not actually watching your television, or in your bedroom not engaging any action, not reading a book, and merely flopping yourself upon your bed, which is easy, and to an extent is a natural action for you. The only aspect that is not entirely a natural aspect for you is this aspect of not exercising your imagination and your creativity.
Yeah, I want to continue with that. I wanted to ask about maturation. See, the challenge, I guess, for everybody nowadays is to find who really we are. So, my issue with creativity is I used to know how I can express my creativity. I used to know that if I am solving a mathematical problem, I'm good in math, then I am doing something for me. I used to know that if I am, helping to arrange a concert or produce a CD, I am being myself. And I used to know that if I am studying another programming language or aspects of the one I know and creating some software, I am also doing great. Nowadays, I find it harder and harder to motivate me to do some of those things, especially since some of those things I'm doing at work already to some extent. And then coming home, I feel like I need change of pace and change of type of activity. And some of the old patterns that come to mind, they are not motivating and I consider them to be old attachments. But I haven't found the new attachments yet. Either because I'm too scared to open up myself to them, or I haven't seen them.
No, it is not that you are afraid to open yourself up to these new directions. It is that you are being lazy.
Yes, yes, correct.
That you are merely not engaging yourself. It is easy to allow your partner to invent the activities and to follow that. And the disadvantage in this, which is not an entire disadvantage, but an aspect of it, is that it prevents you from exploring your own creativity and your own interests. Now, let me also express that in relation to these subjects that motivated you pastly, this can be an avenue to exercise your imagination. Not to engage those activities, but to engage your imagination in the manner of What other avenues are similar or could be extensions or could be entirely new reinventions of those activities that are different, such as you expressed that you enjoyed mathematical expressions and challenges, but that is not entirely interesting now, and more appears to you as work or a chore. It is too related to work. But, as a hypothetical example, you could engage your imagination in a direction of compositions of magnets. That you could incorporate a collection of many different sizes of balls that are magnets that you could interpret as puzzles, and there are mathematical qualities to designing different types of configurations with the magnets. It is also challenging how to fit them together, how to move them in different capacities and create from them, which engages your intellectual stimulation. It also engages a physical action, and it can be interesting and challenging. This is an example of incorporating a basic subject that is familiar to you, such as mathematics, and reinventing that subject in an entirely different manner that can be fun and new and challenging, that will engage your attention and entertain you also, for that is another significant factor, the entertaining value of whatever you are doing. If it is not entertaining, your attention drifts.
Yes.
If any expression is entertaining to you in any capacity, you are more likely to engage it and to hold your attention with it. You, conversely, do not necessarily require entertainment, for you are more interested in conquering challenges. You, with your energy being slower and not being as aggressive as her energy, are more inclined to pay more attention, to be entertained. Therefore, if you are engaged in an action, if it is entertaining to you, you are more likely to engage it and continue with it. But this is the type of action that I am expressing that you have become complacent with and lazy with, for you have shifted that aspect of yourself and that exploration of yourself to your partner. And in shifting it to her, you merely follow what she expresses, rather than initiating.
Yeah, but see, here is an interesting opportunity for me, because not to say challenge, I wanted to say challenge. Because
challenges can be fun also.
Yes, yes. Yeah, this is true. But by the time I am beginning to contemplate what is it that, what entertaining I could be doing with Lila, she already has a plan. She already has put her very matter-of-fact energy into that plan. She's already envisioning the whole day, if not the day, at least several, next several hours, how we are going to do it and do it together.
Ah, but you do interpret those time frameworks in which you are flopping on the bed.
Yes, yes.
Or in which you are sitting in a chair and
yes.
drifting.
Correct.
In those moments, you are not following her plan.
Yes, correct.
Thank you.
Therefore, you do interpret time frameworks in which you can exercise your creativity and imagination rather than merely drifting.
Yeah. And another thing is
waiting for her next entertainment.
Correct. Another thing is, and that may be a little redundant, but just to mention it, you know that my point where I get excited for a moment, and I think, oh, it would be great to create this application for my phone and all that. I buy a book, I read articles, I download software, I'm about to do it, I can't even begin. And then I got the concept, I know how I would have done it, my imagination is strong enough to imagine myself have done it, and all of a sudden the whole interest disappears, I'm done.
And that is also a very natural aspect to you. But I would express that in relation to your creativity and imagination and exploring and engaging actions, let me express that individuals that incorporate more of an inclination for entertainment generally, although it is not a rule, but generally fare more successfully in activities if part of their motivation includes another individual.
Yes, that's definitely true.
Therefore, if your creativity or your exploration or your challenge involves the participation of another individual or doing for another individual, your attention will be held more.
Yes.
Therefore, even in the example of the magnets, if you generated that idea and incorporated that action merely for yourself, you are correct. Likely you would engage it for a limited time framework and you would lose interest and you would be moving in another direction, not entertained. But if you were generating the incorporation of these magnets and sharing them with your partner and creating a game and expressing a challenge, I can create this, what can you create? Or I can create this in this time framework and we will race. Then you are engaging the other individual. Or if you are explaining to another individual. If you are, in a manner of speaking, offering instruction to another individual, your attention will be held more consistently than if you are merely investigating the components and the workings of an action yourself. Once you have discovered it, it no longer interprets an interest. But if you are engaging another individual and you are being helpful to them to learn, so to speak, how to engage the same action, you are more likely to engage the subject for a longer time framework.
Yes.
Therefore, when you are investigating or discovering new interests by expanding old interests or experimenting with entirely new subjects to discover whether you enjoy them or not, you can also consider that natural factor of yourself. How can I engage this and also apply it with another individual or include another individual? That will be more motivating to you than if you are merely engaging it yourself.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, my friends. Once again, it is a matter of recognizing your differences, but also in those differences, recognizing the complement of those differences. And in that, not worrying that you are doing too much and that you are doing too little. Not worrying that you are too fast and you are too slow.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. And therefore, you have no worries in relation to you are not enough cholesterol and you are too much. And be creative, my friends. Discover new activities. Perhaps you may even engage a whale.
Oh!
Oh,
that could be
amazing.
Amazing.
A new adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Very well, my friends. To you both, as always, in tremendous affection and great encouragement and a dear, dear friendship. All of my loving this.
Very well.